Years, we basically came up with a thing that says PHP 6 is PHP 5 plus Unicode. And that's actually true. We've kind of been putting a lot of new features into PHP 5.3, like namespaces and garbage collection and so on, kind of keeping everything, as far as those features are concerned, the same between PHP 5 and 6, and keeping the full Unicode support for PHP 6. But if you know basic arithmetic, you can take this and rearrange it to say PHP 5 is PHP 6 without Unicode, right? And you go one step further and say Unicode is just PHP 6 without PHP 5. That's the simplest answer I can give you, right? So what is PHP? I'm not going to go into that right now. If you're here, you probably heard about it. But what is Unicode, and more importantly, why do you need it? So while preparing this talk, I researched online, as you know we all tend to do, and I came across this wonderful concept called mojibake. And it's a Japanese word that means phenomenon of incorrect, unreadable characters shown when the computer software fails to render a text correctly according to its associated character encoding. Amazing how much they can fit into like 8 characters, right? No, it's actually much shorter meaning, but that's what it basically means. I mean, there's seriously a word in Japanese that describes this problem that you see in your email software and the browsers and everywhere. Just like that. Or, you know, this is an email reader, and this guy, Eyal Rosenberg, probably is not very happy because he can't read his email that came from somebody. But my favorite example of mojibake is a Wikipedia page that exhibits mojibake. So it's kind of a recursive definition. As you can see, there's a little embedded window there, too. So we don't want mojibake, right? We hate it. And Unicode was invented to kill mojibake. And that's why you need it, because it provides a unique number for every character, no matter what the platform is, no matter what the application is, no matter what the language is. It's all consistent and the same across all these various dimensions. The Unicode standard was developed by the Unicode Consortium and basically covers all major living scripts that they know of. I think they're still sort of researching some and debating what to add. It does not have Klingon. It does not have Tolkien's Elvish language, because those are not major living scripts, right? Unlike some people who would like them to be. There's space for them. Version 5 has 99,000 plus characters, version 5 Unicode standard. There's capacity for 1 million plus, so who knows. The standard is really widely supported by various institutions and industries because it's also an ISO standard. They kind of keep it in sync. As the Unicode standards, Unicode standard evolves, the ISO one is updated at the same time. One of the really cool things about Unicode is that it's generative. There's an operation called composition that you can create new characters with, basically. So all the characters in Unicode are subdivided basically into two parts, the base characters, which are normal characters that we think about, like A, B, C, and alpha, beta, and so on, and the non-spacing or combining characters, which are supposed to go on top of the base characters when they're rendered. So you can take letter A, and you can take a combining ring above and create A with a ring above, which is a sign for an angstrom or a letter in Scandinavian language and so on. You can take more than one combining character and put a caret above and a dot below and have another one, or create a completely new one if you want. It's up to you. So Unicode is generative, has a generative property. But Unicode doesn't fix all the internationalization problems. It helps you deal with a lot of the encoding issues and character support, but internationalization is different. You still have to worry about a lot of things related to that. And a couple of definitions, just so we're clear on what internationalization is. It basically means to design and develop an application that doesn't have any built-in assumptions about what language or culture it's working with, and also that is efficient to localize. And once you have an application that is structured in such a way, then you can take it and you can localize it to various markets much easier than you could otherwise. And just some of the examples, I mean, I could go forever just listing the various differences and formatting and usage of various pieces of data, but you know, just look at time formats. You know, USA 4 p.m., France, Japan. Don't forget to identify the time zone. We all well know what you know that mud bath is. Currency. When you try to format currency properly, you have to worry about symbol placement, the length of the currency symbol, the number width, the precision, because different countries use different precision for the decimals. Spain and Japan use zero, Mexico, Brazil two, and so on. You have to know where to place the symbol. It's crazy. Who wants to know about that? And then there's, of course, sorting, everybody's favorite example of you know how things really get complicated. And you know just little examples of showing how the differences appear between English, German, and you know Scandinavian. But languages may sort more than one way, even within the same language. You take traditional versus modern Spanish, or in Japanese, you can sort by stroke first, then radical, and or you know by radical first, then stroke. In German, if you're compiling a dictionary, you're going to have one sort order. If you're compiling a phone book, you're going to have another sort order. It's crazy. Some more examples, you know, Swedish Z comes before O with the diuresis, and German it's the other way around. And like I said, if you're doing a dictionary or phone book in German, the sorting order is different. Contraction and expansions, and like who wants to know about this stuff, right? You just want to work with text and strings. But all this stuff has to be contained and you know defined somewhere. And the thing is that internationalization and localization have to rely on this data, on this locale data that has to be consistent and correct in all the cases. And so far, a lot of languages and applications have been using POSIX locales. And the problem with POSIX locales is that they're not always consistent or correct, or they're missing sometimes, right? You look at your system, how many locales do you have installed? I don't know, a dozen, couple dozen probably, for you know, for sort of like for your region that you're in. But if you want to develop application for another region, you gotta you know install those locales in your machines and so on. There's a project called CLDR, which is hosted by Unicode Consortium, and their goals basically are to go out in the world and find all these various pieces of locale data and collect them and validate them and put them together in the XML format, and they just give it away. It's awesome. The latest release that they had in July of 2007 had 394 locales that they covered. So, cool. All right. Now that we've dispensed with the Unicode and locale stuff briefly, so the PHP 6. When I started working on the Unicode project, it was just supposed to be another point revision to PHP 5, right? But things got out of hand. So it's PHP 6, for better or for worse. And we basically strive to keep as much backwards compatibility as possible while at the same time putting all this native Unicode support in. So there may be a couple of edge cases that might seem weird, but the Unicode support in PHP 6 is everywhere. It's in the engine itself. We basically had to go through the entire string handling apparatus of the Zend engine and retrofit it to use Unicode UTF-16 internally instead of bytes. It's in the extensions. Almost all the extensions that PHP comes with are now converted to support Unicode. It's also in the API, which the extensions used to work with the engine and the PHP core. So as the new extensions developed, it's going to be easier to provide the Unicode support. The support is also native and complete. There are no more hacks. There are no external libraries to rely on, except for one that I'll mention. There are no missing locales. All those 394 locales come by default. There's no language bias. You know, English is just another language as far as PHP is concerned. And the only library that it relies on is called ICU, which is International Components for Unicode. It's a project that IBM has been working on for probably over a decade now. And it's very extensive, robust, you know, open source library that plenty of other projects use. I think Parrot uses that as well. So it's all in good family. But this is just some of the features that the library supports, and some of these will be exposed in PHP directly and some via other extensions. So PHP 6 will have two string types. One Unicode string type, which is used for all the textual data, all the character-oriented data. It's the default for string literals and incoming data from you know, from HTTP requests and so on. And the other string type is binary, which will basically contain bytes, images, PDF files, whatever you can think of, and also any character data that's not in UTF-16. So if you have a UTF-8 string, it's going to be a binary string type. So all the internal processing will be in Unicode because we want to keep it, because it's a superset of all the other character sets, so we want to keep it in Unicode as much as possible and convert to binary only when we really need to, which is when we interface to the outside world. So a little diagram of the sort of conversions data flow, and I'm not going to go too much into that, but some of the conversions that happen, for example, when working with streams, you know, if you open a file for reading or writing, there's a stream-specific encoding that gets associated with it. When you send data out to clients, to browsers and so on, you have an output encoding, so any Unicode strings automatically get converted to that. When it's parsing scripts, it needs to know what encoding the scripts are in for legacy support and so on. You know, we'd love to have everything UTF-8, but that's not realistic. So there's a provision for specifying what encoding the script is in. Like I mentioned, string literals are Unicode type, so you have a string hello world. It's just a Unicode string. You do strlen on it. It gives you back 13, which is what it used to do in PHP 5, because, you know, one byte equals one character, right? But with a piece of Japanese text there, in PHP 5, if you did a strlen on it, it would give you back 21. And I don't really know Japanese, but I don't think that has 21 characters. But in PHP 6, it gives a correct result, 7 characters, 7 ideographs. Another thing to keep in mind is that string offsets will start working on code points, not on bytes, which will mainly affect people who have been working with multi-byte encodings or try to work with them because it was a pain in the ass. But this little example, you have two code points. You do echo str one, and it gives you back the second character, and you can overwrite the first character just by assigning it directly. Now, the next slide is kind of controversial, but Unicode identifiers are allowed. It's Unicode standard says, hey, if you want to support Unicode identifiers, go ahead, but you know, here are the rules according to which you must do that. We said fine. So this is it's just an example slide that I came up with, right? So we have Japanese katakana over here, and then we have a Canadian Inuktitut Aboriginal language, the first function, first method. We have Indian Tamil as the second, and Tibetan Dzongkha language as the third. My favorite is the last line because it combines katakana with Hebrew, which is left to right and right to left on the same line. But nobody's going to write code like this, right? But and if you do and you send in bug reports, nobody's going to look at it. Functions understand Unicode text. So, for example, if you take the word Fußball, right, which is German for football, in PHP 5, you can do you uppercase it. What do you get? You get everything uppercased except for the sharp S, which stays sharp S, which sucks. But in PHP 6, if you do str to upper, you get the correct result. It gets expanded into two uppercase S characters because that's what it's supposed to do. Stuart Lower works the same way. If you know Greek, you know that capital sigma, depending on where it is at the beginning or end of the word, if you lowercase it, it gets converted to different characters. I wouldn't have known that, right? And you don't have to either. You just need to know to call the function. ICU does the rest. Strip tags, for example, works in complex text. You can have mixed scripts there with tags, and it will strip them off properly. There's another interesting case, strrev, the function that reverses a string. If you have combining sequences, like I mentioned before, we have a base character and a combining character. If you just take that and blindly reverse that, what's going to happen? Right? You're going to have combining coming before the character is supposed to modify. So it's actually smart enough to break it up into chunks and reverse just the chunks themselves. So you get the expected result. Now, the streams in PHP have the basis for all the input and output, you know, file, network, memory, and so on. And they now have the built-in support for automatic conversion between Unicode and other encodings. By default, everything we want to be UTF-8, so reading from a UTF-8 text file is really simple. You just say fopen file rt. Remember that T specification? It's not just for Windows line endings anymore. It actually means open it as a text file. And you just do fopen and fread 100 gives you back 100 Unicode characters. It's pretty easy. If you want to write to UTF-8 text file, same thing. Just open it for writing and fwrite your string, and it automatically converts it to UTF-8. Now, if you work with files, if you mostly work with other encodings, no problem. You just set default encoding on the streams, so let's say shift gist. And let's say you want to use file get contents instead of fread. It's pretty easy too. You just have to mark it as a text file instead of a binary one. Or you can create a custom context and do the same thing. You say, I want to have my own stream context with big five encoding, and you just pass it in as another parameter there. The fopen is also smart enough. If you, for example, open a URL for reading, it's going to check the incoming headers and see what the content type is and what the char set on that, and presume that that's what the incoming text is going to be like, and automatically do the conversion for you. Another cool thing that's in PHP 6 is something called text iterator. You basically, there are a lot of use cases where you, when you work with text, you're iterating over a string, just character by character, for example, just in a linear fashion, right? Either forward or backward. And that's not really an optimal case for using the indexing operator. So there's a new class called text iterator that lets you iterate over code points, characters, words, lines, sentences, whatever, forward and backward, and it's very fast. And it also gives you access to boundary analysis API in ICU, which is really cool. I'll show you a couple of examples of that. So here's an example of iterating over code points. You have a string naive, where you have the base character and the combining character, so it's all expanded in decomposed fashion. You just say for each new text iterator, give it the argument, the text string, and dump it out. There's a new function called var inspect. It gives you a little more, bit more data on the debugging. So you can just see what the actual code point values are. And you see it outputs them separately, the I and the diaries, they come up separately. If you wanted to iterate over the sort of visual characters, you can say, just pass another parameter to text iterator called character, the constant called text iterator character, and do the same thing, and now it'll return back to you the both of the code points because it treats them as a single unit. Let's say you want to iterate over words in reverse order. So you have a string that says, you know, could you tell me what time it is, right? Thanks. Instantiate reverse text iterator and say I want to work with words. And then I just do a little check that to skip the empty pieces because it does it on boundary basis. And boom, you have your words in reverse order. It's pretty simple. Now, the cool part also comes when you start using the boundary analysis API. For example, if you've ever had to truncate on a word boundary, right, if you want to do like a, you know, first 50 words of a paragraph to display as a you know, display in your RSS feed or something like that, and then do ... after that, right? How would you usually do that, right? You have to use like regular expressions, for example, to figure out where the your desired offset is, and then backtrack a little bit to the word boundary. It's pretty easy with text iterator. You just say, "I want to work with words," and you ask it for an offset that precedes your desired one, and it automatically gives you that offset. And you just say substring and your ... and off it goes. Or if you wanted to get the last two sentences of the text you have, you just say, "I want to work on this text on sentences." You put the iterator at the end, and you say, "Go back twice," and it gives you offset, and you just do substring. It's pretty simple. Another thing, you can get all the pieces delimited by the boundaries. So if you want to get all the words in a text, you just say, instantiate text iterator and say get all, and it automatically gives you back all the words. Same works for characters or sentences and so on. It's basically a shortcut for pure XSplit, you know. There's another powerful feature in ICU called text transforms. It gives you a way to do these rule-based processing of text. And some of the things it does, script-to-script conversion, which we know as transliteration also, normalization of various, you know, combining sequences and so on, case mappings, removal of accents, and so on. It allows you to write these rules, like it's almost like a little language. So you can have chain transforms. You can say like, okay, filter out from the text, filter out all the Latin characters. I only want Latin characters, then normalize them according to this normalization form, lowercase them, and then convert the Latin ones to katakana, Japanese. So sort of all in one fell swoop, you give it this rule and it transforms your text. It's not quite implemented in PHP 6 yet, but the transliteration, the simple version of it, is there. So I implemented the stir transliterate and played around with it. You can basically give it a list of names, and you say, okay, automatically detect what script they're written in and transliterate it to Latin. And you get something like that, which is fairly pronounceable, right? I mean, this would be pretty cool for like email applications where somebody sends you an email and their from address is in Japanese and it automatically transliterates it for you. So I decided to play around with this somewhere. I'm like, okay, so what if I take like my name or somebody else's name and transliterate it from Latin to katakana and then from katakana back to Latin, and it comes out something like that. Which is a fairly reliable way to get a Japanese pronunciation of your name. So here's another little sample. This stuff all works right now. Think of it, I think I wrote this as sort of a back end for the Ajax piece that would fetch the feeds and so on. Just do simple XML load file on a feed from Chinese Business News. All the XML extensions of PHP 6 are supporting Unicode natively now. They don't rely on any external libraries anymore. Then we just run through each title there, and each title looks like a piece of text and what looks like parentheses followed by some more text. And let's say we want to get rid of stuff that's in parentheses. So if you just do pureg replace and put parentheses in there and say, you know, dot, star, and so on, it's not going to work because those are not really parentheses. They just look like the parentheses. These are punctuation symbols used in Chinese to represent parentheses. So how do we do this? We can use what's called character properties. Each character in Unicode has a long list of properties that tell us, you know, whether it's alphabetical or punctuation or number. If it's number, what value of that number is. If it's lowercase, uppercase, you know, a long list of those things. And all of this is exposed to regular expressions. So we can say, okay, find the opening punctuation, and then anything up until the closing punctuation, take that and remove that from the title. And that's it. And then you just call JSON encode, which will spit out JSON string, and off you go. So that was the sort of some of the built-in the Unicode support in PHP. But like I said, that's not internationalization, right? That's just the support for internationalization. There's a new extension called Intel, which is in the PECL repository, which will help you with internationalization. Some of the features that it will provide are listed here. The ones in green are implemented right now. The ones in black are in development. And I'll talk about some of these briefly. It has both object-oriented and procedural API, which has the same underlying implementation, just aliasing, basically. So you can have collator create is the same as you know, calling a constructor, instantiating a new object, or NumFMT format is number format. It's pretty easy to get used to. And this extension works under PHP 5 and 6, actually. So when it's running under PHP 6, it will use the native Unicode strings. But if you run it under PHP 5, it requires UTF-8 strings. So it's up to you to provide UTF-8 strings to it and receive UTF-8 strings back from it. And however you want to get to UTF-8 is up to you, whether you use MBString, ICONV, you know, your own custom homebrewed method, up to you, as long as you get to UTF-8. So the first piece of that is locale. And locale in ICU terms is not the actual data. It's an identifier that refers to specific preferences of a certain user community, linguistic and cultural preferences. And the Intel extension relies exclusively on ICU locales. It knows nothing about POSIX locales. It doesn't care about them. And ICU locale IDs, they have somewhat different format from POSIX ones. So they have a language followed by optional script followed by required country and then optional variant and keywords. So example, we have simple example of English in Great Britain, language and country, and let's say full example of Serbian in Latin script because Serbian can be in Cyrillic script too, and Yugoslavia with revised orthography and the currency is US dollars. I don't know why, but apparently they accept them. And the locale class has a few methods for like, you know, breaking down the locale specification, the various pieces and so on. One part that's interesting is that if you wanted to get a localized version of specific value, there are these methods called get display something. So if you have a locale like the Chinese and traditional Chinese in Taiwan, and you want to display that in English locale, you just say get display script and pass it that specific piece, and then English is say English locale, and it'll give it back traditional Chinese. If you say get display script in French locale, for example, it will give it back French version of that that says traditional Chinese. This is useful for things like giving you the user's ability to select their preferences and, you know, dialog boxes and so on. The next piece is collator. So collation is basically a process of ordering pieces of text according to specific rules. And the main concept there is there are various collation levels, also called strength in ICU terminology. Each locale has a default level setting, default strength setting, and the differences in lower levels are ignored if the higher ones already have a difference. So it goes sort of from top to bottom, and the very top level is the primary one. It denotes differences between base characters. So A is less than B, less than C, less than D, and so on. So it first compares at this level. If there are no differences at this level, it goes on to the next one, which is called secondary. And it mainly distinguishes accents and other differences depending on the language. So in this case, you have A, S is less than A with a grave accent, S and less than AT. If there are no differences on this level, it goes on to tertiary, which is used to distinguish case and some variants of a base form of a letter. So that A in the ring is a variant of A, so it compares on this level. The next level is quaternary. It's kind of esoteric, just basically used when processing Japanese text and doing some punctuation processing. And if there's no difference here, then it goes to the identical level, which is used as a tiebreaker when all the other ones are equal. It's pretty easy to use the collator API. You just say, okay, sachet collator for French locale, for French in Canada, for example. And you call the compare method on two strings, and then works just like stroke count, but it gives you back minus 101. So if you compare these two strings, it's going to tell you that according to French accent sorting, it's less. First one is sorts before the second one. Great. You can also sort arrays with collator. Sort, asort, and this method sort with sort keys, which is basically you use it when you know you need to use it. But if you have an array of strings you want to sort, which let's say they're all very similar French words, and we just want to know what order they should appear in, we just sort them, and it gives you correct sorting according to the accent sorting rules. If you want to change the strength, you just say set strength and get strength. Let's say we didn't care about anything but the base characters. We just want to see if how they compare on that level. We just say set strength to primary. Now, if we compare the same to strings, it's going to say they're the same because it just ignores the accents completely. There are a few attributes you can set on collator. One of them is what should come first, lowercase or uppercase, for example. So you just say set attribute, case first, upper first, and then compare ABC, lowercase and uppercase, and it does proper sorting according to that. Another attribute is numeric collation. If you ever were frustrated by a case where one sorts after 10 when you list things and or sort of things, this is sort of designed to solve that. It basically turns on a thing that if it detects that the string represents a number, it'll sort it according to the numeric value instead. So if you turn that on, then those strings are going to sort properly. Now I'm going to go into that. Number formatter. This class allows formatting numbers as strings according to the localized preferences, the preferences in that locale, or if you give it a set of rules or a pattern. And it also does a reverse. It allows you to parse a given string back into the number. So it's basically a replacement for number format and scanf and scanf and so on. So let's say we're just an example of various types of formats it supports. We take the number in the English and US locale. There's decimal based on the pattern. There's an example of a pattern there with hash marks and dots. Currency, knows how to format that number as a currency. Percentage, if you want to format it as a percent. Scientific notation, spell out, so you can take it and actually spell out that word. 123,000, so on. Ordinal type, you know, if you do first, second, third, and so on. If the locale you're working with supports that ordinal notation, it'll do that. And then there's duration, which I'm not sure what that must be useful for, but apparently that number in duration is like 34 hours, 17 minutes, 37 seconds. It's pretty easy to use. You just instantiate a number formatter in that locale, tell it what type you want, and just say format. Formatting currency is also pretty easy. There are a couple of different ways of doing it. If you just want a stupid, brain-dead way, just say format it as currency and it'll do it according to that locale. Or if you want to format a specific currency according to number rules in another locale, then you can use the format currency method. So if we have a Japanese yen, we'll want to format in Spanish locale. This is the way to do that. Parsing numbers, also pretty easy. You can just give it a string and say parse it according to a specific locale that you're using. It'll give you back the result if it could parse it. If not, it'll stop and tell you where it stopped. You kind of hint what you want. You know, do you want a double back? Do you want an integer back? And so on. Message formatter is pretty interesting. What it lets you do is produce concatenated messages in a way that's neutral across languages. And what it does, it operates on patterns. You give this sort of formatting pattern that contains subformats, kind of similar to printf formats, but more extended. So let's say you wanted to get an output like, today is November 21st, 2007, which is appeared when I first wrote the slide. Normal PHP way would be, you call a date function, you tell it, you know, give me the full name of the month, the day, and the year. Message format, where you would say, okay, today is, and then you give it the subformat, which says, use the first argument and format it as a date. And then you pass it the array of arguments, which is just current time. You can have multiple arguments, and those subformats let you select which ones get substituted where. So you can say on zero date you have the one number meetings. So it'll format the first argument as a date, second argument as a number, according to the rules of that locale. So when you run that, you'll get on November 22nd, 2007, you have two meetings. If this were another locale, like French or Korean or whatever, the numbers and the dates will be formatted differently according to that locale. You can use various style modifiers that come after the type. So you can say, okay, I want a full specification of the date in that locale. And then it will give you like the day of the week also. And then let's say I wanted to format number of emails as a floating point, right? So you can just give it a pattern to use after the number and it'll automatically format that according to that pattern. Here's an example of using different locale, French in this case. So it will format the first argument as a date according to the pattern. So I just want the day and the month. And then number and the very last ones just substitute that string in. It also does the reverse. You can parse the messages according to that pattern to extract stuff. So taking that example of where we output things, we take the text and we use the exact same pattern and we say parse, and it gives you back the timestamp and the number of the meetings that you had. So that's pretty useful. You can check out stuff out of CVS if you want to play around with this, or use the Peckle install feature. So the head is for PHP 6, and there's a 5.2 branch for PHP 5. It does require the ICU to be installed, which is required for PHP 6 anyway, but you will need it for 5. So that's sort of a quick overview of what the Intel extension lets you do. And there's a lot of other things that are coming, like I said, date-time formatting, choice formatters, and all that good stuff. So I know at the beginning I said that PHP 6 is like, you know, PHP 5 plus Unicode. Kind of lied there. Don't hold it against me. So there are a couple other things that are going to be in it, and then some things that I'd like to be in it as we keep working towards it. So APC, the alternative PHP cache, the one that caches the opcodes and lets you code much faster, is going to be bundled by default. It's not going to be turned on by default because it requires some configuration, which is specific to your setup, but it's going to be bundled. PCRE is going to be the default regex engine. The POSIX regular expression is just going to be an extension that you can install if you need backwards compatibility. But this is going to be the default one going forward, as well as we may have another regular expression extension that does more esoteric Unicode irregular expression stuff. There have been proposals for a taint mode, similar to what Perl does, but not quite the same, which have been floating around. It's just there's always arguments going back and forth. You know, how much should the language do for you versus you know, the rules that you set upon yourself. I'm kind of ambivalent on that. But what I'd really like to have are closures, and I've been lobbying for that and trying to get everybody to agree on specific syntax and so on. What people there are saying, like, well, closures are a little too complicated for PHP programmers and whatever. I'm like, yeah, whatever. You know, if people really want them, they'll figure them out, they'll understand them, they'll use them. Another proposal that came in recently, along with a patch and implementation and great RFC, was traits, which allows you to create reusable class pieces or reusable implementations. So you can define a trait that just does logging, for example. It has a couple of methods that, set logging level and log something. And then various classes can implement that trait, which will reuse those, they implement the code, basically insert that code into those classes. A couple of syntactic sugar treats, like ability to slice strings and arrays, like Python style, where you just say start here and there, you know, and so on. Maybe an easier syntax for array specification. A 64-bit integer type has been requested for a while, so that's probably will appear there. We've had a sample implementation. And then just sort of general cleanup also. We removed safe mode. It's just not, hasn't been useful or hasn't been safe, I guess. And various leftover INI settings like register globals and whatever, it's all gone. So there's just a couple of things that they'll probably will appear in PHP 6. And like I said, PHP 5.3 is already implementing new stuff like namespaces and garbage collection and so on. So it's not like PHP 6 is going to have all the innovation. It sort of goes both ways. But I'm going to end with the slide that will completely unrelated to what I was talking about. Basic rule of presentations, right? You got to end with a slide that makes people smile. And I'll have the slides available at my URL there shortly after I finish this talk. And if you have any questions, please ask them now, or I'll be around later.
Hi, I'd like to ask two questions that are slightly unrelated, but the first one is, will there be a serious performance hit on all this extra processing that will obviously have to take place with the strings? And the second one is, you know, you had that slide with all the different languages. Would it presumably make it easier then if you were, say, a Chinese programmer and you didn't even want the English keywords, you could just replace class with in equivalent, and I mean, I know that Python has already had a port to Chinese where they literally just replace the keywords in the lexer, which is obviously it's a bit sort of easier than having to.
So the question is, will there be performance impact when processing Unicode text? Yes, it's twice as much data to move around, right? Thank God computers are getting faster. But it's not going to be a terrible performance hit. And to answer your second question, the Unicode stuff is only for identifiers, right? It's not for keywords and other stuff. So in PHP 5, you can already do accented characters and class names. There's an extension that lets you do Chinese, Japanese, Korean characters for class names and method names. So it's not like it's something that's never been done before. It's just how you use it, right? And I think that's just mostly going to be used by closed source, kind of internal company development stuff, if that's what they're comfortable with. Questions?
Thank you. I missed the beginning. Maybe you already described it. It seems that you're using Unicode 16 internally and 8 externally.
Internally, it's UTF-16. Yes. Externally, it's whatever your preference is. Right. By default, it's going to be UTF-8 unless you specify something else.
And why UTF-16 as opposed to 8? That's what I hadn't.
Why UTF-16 internally?
Yeah, opposed to 8.
Instead of 8?
Yeah.
There are a couple of reasons. It's easier to work with UTF-16 text because it's much less susceptible to being variable length, where you need to calculate offsets and so on. Also, for CJK market, UTF-8 is more verbose than UTF-16. Okay. That's another reason. And ICU internally supports UTF-16 mostly, so.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot.